dat is om wat in de lokale mindset, niet zo far as the appointment en zijn alles in consciousness.
Others who have very well developed views on what consultation means. It comes into action every time the president. president consults the leaders of parties represented in parliament on appointments like the Chief Justice and the other discretionary appointment. And there are entire volumes of legal opinion on the subject of what consultation should mean, and that it precisely cannot be perfunctory. And it's real duty bound to say that. That's context, yeah. No, of course not. But as I say, there are whole legal opinions on what it does mean. And the effect of which is that it can't be just perfunctory. The person actually has to apply his mind, the president has to apply his mind to what the advice is in the context of the appointment of judges, certainly. Whether the same would apply here, I don't know. Was the suggestion, sir, not that it's actually not proper even to put in after consultation?
No.
Let me wonder whether that I've seen somewhere with a line on post to the office of the judge. So I was saying that if the intention was to get consent examination of evidence, that may not be, we may even determine the salary in relation to the office. Then we don't have to have the contract, just like the NDP. The NDP should receive a salary not less than that of a judge and not that of a Garuda High Court. So give you the space around there, can determine whatever. So there's no need to consult it, because only determine. So I was asking this from this perspective. If the idea is to appoint somebody equivalent to a judge, even the remuneration can link it to that of a judge without any other bureaucratic processes of determination.
Yes, there was no new insertions in 52. I don't know if you want to discuss that, or the next new insertion is in 56.
Okay.
The basic liability of the Fidelity Fund. In subclause 1, it says the fund is liable to reimburse persons with sudden pecuniary loss, not exceeding the amount. And then in sub A, there's a change. In B, advocate is deleted. And also in C, as those are not found as they would perform. Then in clause 57.1, it was just inserted, the advocate referred to in section 34.2b, that is the direct brief advocate. This is just drafting for clarity. in subsection subclause 4, all advocates are again deleted for the same reason, and similarly 6b. And then in clause 58, there was deletions in L, and this is because of the May and March situation.
And the members, you'll recall, this arises from your discussions where you wanted this differentiated, okay?
Yes, there was the first eight one is marked, and then this inserted new may be utilized. The composition of the Board of Disability Fund, and in 63.1A, at the request of the committee, we inserted that one of the five petitioners must be an advocate.
Who receives that?
And in 64.1E, to the technical insertion, that refers to and also to an advocate to receive guided brief. The next new insertion is in Bill 65 that deals with membership of the board, and there is that discussion that the committee had on board of first instance and appeal, etc. I don't know if I should read all the revisions.
No, it's not this. Okay. So we have a couple of alternatives there for us to think about on the members. Chairperson, and it should be all deputy instead of all. Okay.
teacher, the next new incursion was in 56-2, chairperson and deputy chairperson. It's just a technical incursion to align it with clause 9. The next is in clause 69, removal from office. Clause 69.1 was amended to provide that the board may remove a member from the board from office on account of a finding by a disciplinary committee in terms of section 14 of any serious misconduct as set out in the code of conduct contemplated in section 36 on the part of the legal practitioner. And then, as it was before.
Is there any line of language that we need to decide whether it should be the board must remove or may remove, okay? Okay.
Then in the alternative to paragraph D, paragraph D reads a request by the body which or a person who elected or designated that member in terms of section 53 on good cause shown by the body or person question upon confirmation thereof and then inserted as soon as practically possible by the ombud. And that was requested by the DC. And the next clause E, paragraph E, he or her becoming disqualified to remain as a member of the board, I contemplated in section 65.2. is a list, insolvent, unsound mind, etc.
Okay.
Then previous E and F were deleted there.
That's right.
Alternative, yes. Alternative to B, yes. Where we insert only caution by the body upon confirmation thereof as soon as practically possible by the ombud. Does that mean that if the ombud doesn't confirm it as soon as practically possible, practically, it falls away at that requirement? The nature of putting it in is that we couldn't enumerate that. We would like the ombud to speedily deal with it, but we don't have jurisdiction over the office, and we are hoping that when we send it this, when we reach the bill, you'll understand what we want. That was the reason that was paid. You know, we wanted to be done expeditiously.
All right, Mr. Sir.
The next amendments were in clause 71.1, dealing with committees of board.
If I could just insert the note. If you look at 69.4, the end reads as the term of the board in the rules contemplated in section 64.5. I think we just need to amend that because we're taking out F and we just tie that in with
appropriate cross-section. The board is determined by the board in the rules. Yes, the rules are contemplated in section 4 or F. Make rules relating to etc. etc.
Oh yes,
64
on F.
Yes.
And that's 68.
No, not 4.
68.
64
on F.
Yes, 64 on F.
Yes, sorry.
Are we good, Mr. Lepp? Okay. So,
clause 71 deals with committees of board. 71.1, the board must appoint an executive committee one of whom must be an advocate referred to, and that is the direct peer advocate, that was inserted. And then in 2A, the members of a committee was deleted to state the board must elect and appoint a chairperson of a committee. Chair, could I just go back to clause 17? I apologize. When we did a comparison with the Word document with a printed PDF document, we noticed that in clause 17 sub 4, there was difference, and also in clause 17, the printed version stated that a decision of the majority of the members constitutes a decision, while the previous draft on which we worked said the members present at that meeting. So we changed this one back.
It should be a members present, hey? Members. So I can sit and hook it up and follow my decision through?
The concern was, and I raised it, that what if on this particular day the quorum is so low, and what do we do about it? And then it was pointed out that the intention is that it's the membership of the board, so that immediately gives the number of whatever is just one.
And we also
learn from the chair. Appointment of judges is confirmed by the majority of the members of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how many are judges, you don't need to agree in one of the
So,
and that rule applies in instances where you can find that the membership may be skewed that only particular group of people have attended. The fact that the other ones who represent the society could are not there. Loyal countries are on their own. But if you build up all members, tie them up, you know that if you don't go there, you are going to be counted as the position is that of the members of the board. Right? So people must come so they can speak that position. If there's no quorum, it goes the position can be taken.
Okay.
So, even if the committee is correct,
yes.
If the chief, if the recommendation does not require them, there's no.
Okay. Right. Well, as long as we understand that and we're okay with it. Right.
Yes.
Yes. So,
yeah. Chapter 71.
70. 71. 2. 3. Are we done with
70?
Yes. All right. 71. 2B.
Chairperson of the board.
But I'm saying that because we are doing the amendment here to grant it to be nice.
Oh, good.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, it's not working for me.
No.
For example, the Deputy Judicial Commission has connected the interview upon a discussion.
Yes.
As they know the causes to
the mentoring.
And that's and let me just stop.
Where there are two, where there's two more in institutions, sometimes it's because of the legislative framework, the government. And I think it's good where you're mentioning it, you're very impressed with what's happening inside it, and your experience of it, so that we avoid it. So sometimes when there's really big problems, and you look at it based on the legislative framework, the government.
The next amendments are in clause 74, contributions to the fund by legal practitioners, and the insertions in subclause 2, 3 and 4 are only technical to refer back to subclause 1A to make sure that it is practitioners that have to have fidelity fund certificates, so it's only technical. Then the next insertion is in clause 77, provision of insurance cover and surety ship. In 77.1, the board may, and then in paragraph B, together with a person, etc., and then it refers to a legal practitioner referred to in 84.1. That was the insertion, also in subclause 2. IT41 refers to an attorney or advocate that has to have that practice for his own account or as director. So it's just a technical cross-reference.
Okay.
Clause 79, actions against fund. In subclause 4, again the same cross-reference to a person practicing for an account. And technical. Similarly, clause 80, subrogation. And then again, subclause 2 was moved to the new to clause 93, where all the offences are grouped together. The next amendment was in 84, obligations of legal practitioner relating to handling of trust money. In subclause 4, the offence was again moved to 93. In subclause 6, there was a deletion of a legal practitioner who is obliged to have a fidelity fund certificate. This was an amendment agreed by the committee last time.
Mm-hmm.
In that clause 10, legal advisor was deleted.
Yes.
Then in clause 85, application for and issue of a fidelity fund certificate, the provision providing for the practice management course, this was inserted pursuant to the comments of the LSSA, and the PD suggested that this clause should be moved to clause 26.
Oh, yes.
That relates to practical vocational training.
Yes, yes.
Yes, that's okay.
heard?
Rules 86, a deletion of the wording there, also the technical of nature, similarly rules sub-rules 6 and 7. Then it was 87, accounting, sub-clause 3C. After it was deleted, because they wouldn't deal with matters such as this.
Okay.
Sub-clause 5, cross-reference is inserted to clause 371A.
Oh yes, that's the section, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Let's take us back a little bit to 26.
1,
2, 26. C, 2, which refers to what we said, the practice management course under 85B, and we said we'll take it to 26.
Yes.
But my reading of 26 C2 says that it says a legal practice management course can be legal petitions, but remember that it's also for persons that want to be a lawyer. Every legal practitioner who for the, and I'm reading 85B, who for the first time practices as such, I seem to have a doubt about whether it sort of excludes. A legal practitioner could be in the law firm as a professional assistant, so he's just gone for 10 years. And he or she then decides, look, I'm going to open up my own practice. This person has done articles and admitted as a lawyer, and this is also intended that when you want to open up your practice for the first time, you must go for this course. And so this doesn't say that. This only says legal practice may be called Canada legal.
But shouldn't you read 26.1 first? A person qualifies to be admitted and enrolled as a legal practitioner if that person has. And then what is C in C2? A legal practice management course.
In Canada, legal practitioners. Remember, a PA is no more candidate legal practitioner. He or she is lawyer. But he or she decides, after 10 years, I want to open up one practice. Qualified lawyer. So this insertion is restricted just for candidate legal practitioners. It's go beyond that. You should incorporate what is being indicated under 85.
I think I would suggest that we keep 85.1b because this 85.1b provides for existing lawyers, whilst 26 deals with training. In other words, perhaps we should just reinsert because at the time when this bill comes into operation, as Raj says, there will be existing attorneys who don't have their own practices, so they would fall through the cracks. We don't provide for them.
All right. And would it stay under 85, which deals with issuing of fidelity constitutions?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Honourable members, can you see that?
Yeah, can I just ask my example of myself? I'm on the non-practicing role. So with the new dispensation, I agree with you that I would not be required, at least presently worded, to go and do a legal management course. Cannot get the admitted to practice on professional law. But I think if we insert 85 and I want to practice as such, I would then direct.
So you would change so far the point.
for the person.
But maybe you've got a transitional arrangement as well. And the transitional arrangement, how would it apply my life?
You'd have to undergo it.
You'd have to, I would suggest that it's right.
It's practice before. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. From this course.
Okay, before. Yeah. But for the first one, I think this covers it. That's correct.
Right.
I think that it's a good thing that you put it up.
Yeah. So we're taking it out there in 26, eh? Leaving it there. That's for candidates, so that stays there. Sorry, I misunderstood you. But what is in 85B, 1B, is not taken out, it stays there.
And apart from you, where was the share of one woman?
Yes, we did. Okay. All right, fair enough. Ms. Simpson?
Yes, I think it's under the object of the count, of powers and functions.
Objects. Objects, composition, powers and functions is under clause 6.
Yes, 5. 6 sub 5.
6 sub 5.
They are, in E, it's including compulsory cross qualification for a professional development. I think this would
continuing education.
This course is for one day.
Okay. Okay. Yes, Mr.
Paul, just the issue related to the SA Human Rights Commission. Remember where they asked an insertion about to apply only to them, and I think we asked whether it would only apply to the Human Rights Commission. Would it also apply to any other chapter 9 institutions?
Oh.
Chair, I see in the footnote that the Secretariat of the Committee undertook to follow up on this. If I remember correctly, we discussed this and we decided that, or the discussion went along lines that a legal practitioner in the employ of a Chapter 9 institution, he would look objectively whether that practitioner falls within the ambit of this Act in all respects, and that would inform this aspect. I think some of the commentators misunderstood the ambit of the bill and thought it would apply to workers in the employ of Chapter 9 institutions, etc. But it doesn't really. I think, if I remember correctly, yes, but as I said, I think my personal view is that I misunderstood it. I don't know if the Secretariat was able to reduce it.
Can I ask you? Yes, maybe some of you are also.
I remember raising it, and it's you searched the Human Rights Commission on your request.
Right.
So when you read a bill in its totality, actually it would be strange to get to the and you only mention one of the human rights. And I was suggesting that one could refer to Chapter 9 institutions, but we would, whether it applies to others or not, because it only applies to the Human Rights Commission. And we haven't heard from anyone else, like the Auditor General or from the Public Protector, that it does strike one, it jars almost in the reading for the South African Human Rights Commission, why only them and not the Public Protector? And the answer is, well, they're the only ones who asked to be included.
That's right.
So, that's the answer.
Ms. Lou?
Chair, I think possibly I misunderstood the ambit of the bill.
Mm.
Because it would be an objective question. You are, for example, an admitted attorney. Now you are employed by the Human Rights Commission. Do you remain on the practicing role or do you go on the non-practicing role? If you go on the non-practicing role, you don't have to have a fidelity firm certificate, etc. If you remain on the practicing role and for some reason you can still work with the Human Rights Commission, then you would fall under the ambit. But then because you're a practicing attorney, not in your capacity as an employee of the commission. My personal feeling is that I misunderstood the ambit of this role.
Submission of the South African Human Rights Commission have a trust manager. But I think they were more on right of appearance.
Well, right of appearance, and then they wanted, what did they say, their lawyers, they have lawyers, and they wanted their lawyers to be covered by the bill. But then the question posed by Mr. Dyer is irrelevant. It needs to be answered by them. They're coming tomorrow.
The attorney is suing. He's suing this person.
That's no, he's not.
He's suing on behalf of the Human Rights Commission.
Yes.
When that claim is successful and the money is coming in, say it's about 10 billion rands, you are Community X, the check is coming to the commission. And where are they putting it?
We didn't know of that. We didn't push it. Sorry, Mr.
Smith.
Well, actually, he said that down. It's also human beings. Well,
as I understand, when I was still practicing, if you get a capital, if you succeed in a claim as a state attorney, you get a capital amount. That check comes from the client department and it's made out into the name of the plaintiff. There's no trust money, it's a straight. So you are a postbox that you've got no access. But it must be certainly the same, because if you win a, but I don't understand where they would be, they'd only be litigating in the Equality Court probably, for an infringement of that, so then they might be acting on behalf of the client. They win the case, the check must be paid to the client. But I suppose and that's what we can ask them. But in the likelihood, it will be, the check will be paid out in the name of the client, not into the the trust account, because the TFMA doesn't make provision for separate accounts when it comes to state departments or parish accounts, chapter 9 institutions.
The trust account is made up in the name of the client.
And it goes straight, you just deposit it. You just.
What do you mean with deposit?
Well, you get the check and you hand it to the client.
There and then?
No, it's
a couple of weeks.
No, no. It must be done immediately almost, because it's interest that is accruing, and so your department or your that person wants the check immediately, otherwise he's got
no chance of stealing it.
The check. Well, the check is a non-negotiable instrument, it's unless you fraudulently, it's not as easy as in an attorney's firm with in trust account that can give a control over it. You've really got to commit fraud. You've got to open a bank account in the name of your client. So it can be done, but it's highly unlikely, because it's not easy to open a bank account. You would have to do that. If the check will be made out non-negotiable in the name of your client, the only way you can steal that capital check is to then open a bank account. In that name, the bank will just want to know who are you, what is your feature, all those requirements. It's not unheard of, I suppose, but it's here from the it's unlikely. But I'd first like to know under what circumstances do they receive money, capital money. And that can only be in the quality court, so they sue successfully for damages.
All right. We'll hear from them.
Contribution the council and the board must take into account in whether the applicant has been reported any claims.
Okay.
And then again in subclause 5, A and B, it is just a cross reference to subsection 1, which is technical. The next amendment was in clause 86, trust accounts, just in a technical relation. Similarly, subclause 6 and 7. Clause 87, sub 3, advocate is deleted because it's not worth the title under type. Then in sub 5, again a cross reference to section 371A. Which relates to the investigating committees. And advocate is also inserted there then. In sub 6, paragraph F is just was a typo, prosecuting authority. And then sub 7 was moved to the defences clause. Clause 89, there was again a deletion, this technical, if I was with the similarly, clause 93, and that is all the offences from throughout the board in consolidated here. Clause 94 and 95 are still not finalised. and all that must be done in the committee so required.
Yes.
Chapter 10, clause 96, the name of Transitional Council was changed to National Consultative Forum on the Legal Profession, and it will be changed throughout the body if the committee accepts this change. In 96.1A2, it was just the technical name change. And then paragraph 5 was deleted as they are represented. Then paragraph B,
yes,
we deleted that law teachers for Southern Africa. At the question of the 102, then in 96.1E, the wording "one person designated by the board who may not be a legal practitioner" was deleted.
Of the law society appear to be antiquated. For example, it's cable society, it's free state law society, law society of the modern provinces, and quasi-limitarian law society.
Is it central or is it
central? That's our problem with them. Transvaal, Natal, Orange, they show all that way and they don't see a problem with it. They're happy with it. They're not happy with it? Why haven't they changed it?
But they did want to make a change.
They haven't.
What problem
must have with this change?
They think
it's
in the law. What is saying that they're the old name?
So we need to change the act.
No, but that act changes there. The act would be the same.
But the people in these organizations, have they changed their own names?
Yes, that's why Kodang Metrak is now called the Lord Society of the Lord of
Covenants.
Whether it is written or spot.
Alright.
I'll take it back.
No, they're not
called.
It's just the statute.
Okay.
But
that
is the last.
No, the Covenants and the statute. Remember, in the same process, you end up with the court. Yes. The court had that court, and the manchurian was more. Change immediately. So that was not done from the proposal. So in this bill, you must put what is the other act, what people call it.
And I was
talking
to mention about the orange state, and it was a model new law, it was a model republic, and then first the right state was the Anglo-European and it was white and from the
Okay, Mr. Dye. Mr. Lowe.
Deputy Chair, in clause 96 to the option, no, actually, sorry, in the option to C, just oversee as far as practicable,
yes.
I don't know the pronunciation.
Practicable, yes.
All right.
And then in sub-clause 3, it was inserted for a period not exceeding 3 years, as suggested by the committee.
Okay.
Yes. We will change it to anti. In clause 97, in terms of reference of transitional council, 97.1A1, the transitional council must within 24 months of the commencement of this chapter make recommendations to the minister on an election procedure for purposes of constituting the council instead of first council, and consisting of a chamber for advocates and a chamber for attorneys.
Yes, the argument there was that there's only going to be the council, otherwise if you say first, it means there will be subsequent councils. That's not the case. Okay.
And then in paragraph 3, Roman 3, the composition, powers and functions of the regional councils. And the next change was in sub-clause 4. If an agreement contemplated in sub-section 2 cannot be reached by parties concerned, any of the parties may agree to refer to the matter in terms of the Arbitration Act. The question was raised, why did the GCD have a problem with this comment, with this clause? We looked at the Arbitration Act. The GCD commented that arbitration cannot determine status and cannot be compulsory.
Mm.
We agree that it cannot be compulsory. That was why we suggested this change wording that the parties may agree to arbitration, but we do not understand their comment that it relates to status. Status has to do with a minor or whether you are opus mentis, when you divorce, your status change, when you're infant, your status change. We don't really understand why some don't agree with that, but we changed the wording like this for the committee's consideration.
Okay. Yes, Mr.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is different.
Sure.
I just say question 97.1A, Roman numeral 1. Election procedure for those constituting the council consisting of the chamber of advocates and the chamber of attorneys. My understanding is that it should replace as an alternative. They certainly are in connection with that definition.
Well, the footnote might have clearance. It's the suggestion of an option. This is a suggestion
of an option.
All right. Does that take us, Mr. Snow? Sorry.
There's one point I've kind of wanted to say this morning. Yes. And I don't know that I can bring it up now. Around the cost.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. When we share the department and worked on the costing of the bill, we came to our attention that the Ombud and the Transfer Council are born from the fiscals. So we will then be able to present a kind of a costing analysis that we think will impact on these institutions, the Transfer Council and the Ombud, which will present the comments. And the third point we thought that, look, I know that the committee have kept us, but what would this bill cost for the first? And we have received the extent of the patent which has been rejected from the North side. Some say that the expenses may not be affordable. And it may even be something that may be used even to start the transformation. Because the museum must put money into your process. So if at the end we leave the transformation in the hands of the people must transform themselves, they may be kind of. So we then thought the excellent idea maybe to leave, to assign. I know that the country has raised concern that we must not go with the social council. But we thought that the social council being as inclusive as it is, they also formulate a kind of a funding model for the profession during the first 3 years. So they will not, that process will be more authentic and estimate than a department outside the profession. Sit down and think, and you are thinking how they are going to run things, how they are going to organize themselves, how the council are going to call whatever, and we give you the portfolio committee. And they accept that tomorrow when the rail people come into your office, they don't buy into it. So we thought that that element can bring to TC. Whether they're there, then let them tell us how they're going, let them in 3 years tell this parliament in South Africa how they're going to fund the profession instead of this bill. And then the exit as an extra term of reference on the chief with clear time frames. Yes.
And also to be the
no,
it's not able to do. Yeah. On top of everything else they expect to do. Yeah.
But then, we know the model of the
chief. And said, look, the SNC is very profitable. We will keep run at so much amount of honor. And when he says that if you look at the province in the council, whatever, when you look at the proportionality of the practitioners, whatever, you may find this, whatever. But those are only our assumptions. So we don't want to do it for them. We can share with you what our thinking is. But ask them to do it and bring it to you in 18 months. And we will pay the money. Because you find the TC to do that.
Okay. All right. That means possibly certain changes. No, does it?
It's
a it does. Yeah, it does. All right. Under 98.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the same.
Which 99, membership of
Transition and Council. This is your mic on? Sorry. 992, paragraph C, a person has been convicted in a court of first instance. The next new change was in clause 102, removal from office. In 102.1a, the TC may or must remove a member from office on account of a finding of any misconduct under any act or code which regulates the conduct of the member in question, which in the opinion of the TC debars him or her. Yes, clause 99.2c deals with convictions for any offence. Chapter 4 deals with misconduct, but that will not have come into operation during the life of the TC, so paragraph A is not relevant and can be removed. However, the various members of the TC may be subject to codes of conduct in organisations which they represent. For instance, attorneys. Then paragraph E was deleted, engaging any activity as well as sequestration, and sequestration is already in 99 to A. Chair, it appears there's no further new amendments. The schedule will be updated in the next draft.
So, closes a fair amount to yes.
If we need some time to consult, and then theoretically say tomorrow is at 10, if it is a time to consult
hello.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a note from a little concert that I have to teach.
That's what I was thinking, actually. That's what I was thinking, Mr. Sinan. That there's a lot here, and I don't want them to feel that we're pushing them into a corner. I'd much rather they have time to say to their respective offices, these are the options, and so on. So that when they come back here, well, they've taken a decision, and then we discuss it here and decide. That 1 hour you refer to is obviously
only light notes. Tomorrow is my birthday.
I want to do this during my lifetime. I don't know when I will go
there. Yes. Spoken like a true politician. Oh, yeah. All right. But the reason I'm asking is because, they need to be told whether they should be here tomorrow or not. And, yeah, that's it. mean, they have travel arrangements, hotel, and construction. So that's the only reason.
I mean, we are focusing on certain afternoons, not your focus. So they are here. Mm-hmm. I would really greatly appreciate if all part of them could be bringing for the Human Rights Commission. Describe our proceedings in legal week. Christine has some wonderful stuff from Australia.
Yes.
We still want to do a provision, I think we all do, saying that there might be an agreement on paper between the attorney and my client and the advocate for that
matter. We've still given them a bit of work to do.
Yes.
You'll be told on the several of the courts.
That important one.
So
it's
still all that, which they must still
be. The one I see is a
yes.
A lot of removal of purple crowns and the
exactly.
Yes.
Right.
But then Christine has new stuff, which I'm very keen to see. Some new Australian provisions that she just stumbled up. Julia has found wonderful stuff in this new document.
Yes.
None of us read properly.
Yeah. In-house lawyers.
Yeah.
That's
a gentleman and lady's got copies of
that. That's an in-house lawyers.
That in itself.
Different jurisdictions and how they might work.
Maybe put the thought to the feeling cost and add it to justice.
The meeting of the Human Rights Commission is meant to deal with the Human Rights Commission bill. Right?
Yes.
Of course, we will raise this, yes, and deal with that, and then proceed with the Human Rights Commission bill. Thursday afternoon, we still need. Thursday.
They want to basically start making a decision, you know, if against me, how many members are we going to have on those clauses for the first time.